Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Tomorrow is Liberation Day, according to US President Donald Trump, who says he'll announce trade tariffs to make America great again. But today, the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has said that while the EU does not want an economic conflict, it has, in her words, the power to push back, and all options are on the table, she says. Well, to discuss what might happen in the US and a potential response from the EU, I'm joined by Barry Cowan, Fianna Fáil MEP for Midlands Northwest, Jennifer Ewing from Republicans Overseas UK, and by Scott Lucas, who's Professor of American Studies and International Politics at UCD. And you're all very welcome indeed. Scott Lucas, I might turn to you first of all, because you've been looking at a report by economists from Aston Business School in the UK today, which says a full-blown trade war between the US and its trading partners could cost an eye-watering $1.4 trillion. Now, what else does that report say?
Yeah, I think it's important for reports like these to cut through the political spin and talk about the economic reality, about losses to everyone if these tariffs are imposed. Even if the U.S. was to put on limited tariffs, just say against Canada, Mexico, and China, they will have a fall of more than 1% in their GDP. If they impose tariffs on the EU, the fall in the U.S. GDP goes up to 1.5%. And if they impose it across the board, then it goes up to about 2.5%. So that's just in the U.S. The unemployment rate in the United States would go from 4% to 7%. You would have, of course, a significant rise in inflation. And, of course, other countries would suffer losses as well, which is where you get this staggering total that if Donald Trump proceeds with what we're hearing, it's going to be a 20% tariff increase across the board, then you have $1.4 trillion in losses to the global economy.
Jennifer Ewing, is this making America great again?
I don't think so. No, I think some of these tariffs, you know, if they do end up going through, could be, you know, quite brutal, especially for some of the car manufacturing at 25%. I guess the question is if, you know, what he's talking about, President Trump, is reciprocal tariffs. So if somebody charges us 8%, we'll charge them 8%. And I think what's happening is what he's clearly trying to do, what his idea is to get people to manufacture and to build things in the United States, which is great. You know, anybody who looks at this will tell you there's going to be a lot of pain. Now, is it worth it? I don't know.
Are you worried? Are you? I think you're worried. I think you're as worried as the Wall Street Journal. They say. I know that, but they're saying in the Wall Street Journal. Let me read you the headline in the editorial: a $6 trillion Trump tax increase. That's what they're calling this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what's happened is, you know, the rest of the world post World War II has gotten used to the U.S. consumer being the buyer of last resort, and up until this point, we've been able to do it. And I think what happens is we're $36 trillion in debt. Just to finance that debt is more than our national defense bill. And we can't afford it anymore. Mm. And so what the president has done is come in and thought, okay, my idea is let's make this fair, let's make this reciprocal. And that is obviously going to, start a lot of adjustments, some of which will hurt people. It'll hurt the markets. It's hard to follow news today because it's April Fool's Day, but I did just see something, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that Israel said that they will drop tariffs on U.S. products. Again, don't know if that's true or not because of April Fool's, but I'm not sure a lot of these will go through. We know Trump in the past has used tariff as a negotiating tool, like he did in Mexico in 2018. And in Colombia earlier this year. So I think we have to see.
Yeah, and I think you make a fair point. However, it's the uncertainty that's causing the markets to slump, the Trump slump. And even if they don't go through, Jennifer, the problem is the uncertainty of it all is causing investment to be pulled for a CEO of US business to say, I don't like this. I'm holding back investment in R&D and in jobs and so on. So it's hurting even if it doesn't go through. Stay with me. Let me bring in Barry Cowan, who's a Fianna Fáil MEP. What do you think the EU response should be tomorrow? Because we have cards is basically what Ursula von der Leyen was telling the Parliament today.
Yeah, look, there is uncertainty, which is, doesn't help either party. So maybe tomorrow it's better that it comes and better that we respond to it accordingly. But in the first instance, we have to recognise that there's daily, we do 4 billion worth of euros worth of trade, which is mutually beneficial to both blocks. You know, full-on trade war would be mutually detrimental to both blocks. But it's incumbent on the EU to act as one, but only after a period of consultation with member states, with relevant industrial business and sectors post-US tariffs. So, you know, in the meantime, since this became a reality in recent weeks or was on the horizon, they've been considering their responses. They've been consulting widely with member states. It's now up to it. It'll have to box clever, trust, and insist that retaliations are measured, but strategic and even politically precise to have the desired effect. And the desired effect and impact is to get the US administration to the table rather than the graveside of our respective economies.
And I know it's really difficult, Barry, to give a detailed response. If I were to ask you what the EU response should be, if we don't know what the detail of tomorrow's announcement is yet.
Oh, exactly.
But I suppose it's either you act with a counter tariff or you wait and see how the US consumer suffers his pain if it's passed on to the US consumer and wait for that backlash to happen. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, well, you know, we got to see what's put on the table. We got to see, is it purely reciprocal? We got to see if it's an effort to reshore many industries that have been very good to us and very good to the US as a base in Europe and that market. But essentially, you know, we have to box clever. We have to, you know, our retaliatory measures, if necessary after time, have to be strategic, you know, precise. We look at the areas of the US where, you know, machinery, mechanical appliances is centered in California, New Jersey and Pennsylvania, centered the chemical industry, the aircraft industry in Texas. And you think of Ireland alone in relation to the aircraft industry. At present, we have orders of 950-odd jets, which cost in the region of $120 billion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many components for that are manufactured here. So there's a lot of detail when you drill down into the proposed tariffs that will impact gravely on the U.S. and the U.S. economy. And we would hope, you know, to highlight that by virtue of the unilateral talks that are taking place between member states and the US and, at the higher level of the EU itself. And we've been relaying that at our own International Trade Committee meetings, at our own agricultural meetings, talking to the commissioners, their staff, ensuring that we're measured and considered and strategic, but only after assessing the impact of what might come tomorrow. In a measured way, too.
Yeah. Is that something you'd fear, Jennifer, that the European Union is a massive bloc in its own right and any response will be measured and in their best interests? And essentially, this all could hurt America and the American business and consumer.
Well, I mean, I'm not really that worried about the EU, but what I would ask is, what is the United States supposed to do, right? Like, we do have a financial problem and a very large deficit. So it's got to be dealt with in some way. This is one idea. It might be out of the box. It might be crazy. It might be disruptive. But I don't see anybody else coming up with any better ideas, whether that's previous administrations in my own country or other countries. I mean, the trade balances are out of whack. So what would people like the United States to do? Trump got voted into power to, as you started off the segment saying, make America great again. So that doesn't happen overnight. And do I think this is the greatest idea? No, but I think we have to hear it out. And I think it could be messy. And as far as the stock market, well, there's a lot of people investing money in the United States since Trump has been elected. We know that for sure, whether it's SoftBank, whether it's Apple, whether it's other countries. So it's not just people putting things on hold. the UK is, excuse me, the US is definitely open for business. So there are people,
but they're predicting a recession.
Look at this and get on board. What?
They're predicting a recession for the US, aren't they?
Well, I think he was probably in a lot worse shape than the United States of America is. But that's probably a different discussion. But no, I'm just curious. Like, what?
No, it's not really a different. But this is all you say. You say people are investing in the U.S., but Goldman Sachs, I think, is talking of an increased risk of recession in the U.S. now.
Well, let's see, right? I mean, like I said, if those big, 25% tariffs come on to cars, I mean, the thing that's complicated about that situation, for example, is, we remember in the 80s, like Honda financed Japanese car, but it was mostly made in America, whereas Ford, American car, a lot of parts were made overseas. So it's difficult to tell what's made where, right?
Okay,
so that in itself is going to be very, very tricky.
Okay, so what if this, after all the uncertainty, Scott, works out for Donald Trump, that the Irish government, for example, are worried about new investment, that might go to the US? That would be a win for Trump. What if US multinationals say, we better bring back some profits, repatriate them and pay the taxes in the US? If they ask for future investment in terms of employment and R&D, that go to the US instead of multinationals based here, for example, this could conceivably work out in his favour, could it not?
No. It takes an awful lot of money and resource to pull your businesses, profitable businesses that have benefited both Ireland and the US, to pull them all back to America. And you're asking them to pull them back at a time when the American economy could be suffering. Because the fundamental here is that the Trump proposal is economic nonsense. And let me just give two quick examples that come off of the discussion so far. The first is, these are not reciprocal tariffs. That's nonsense. For example, the United States has a trade and goods and services surplus of 93 billion euros with Ireland in 2024. So if anyone should be imposing tariffs, if you believe in Trump's words, it should be Ireland. So the idea of reciprocal tariff is a nonsense. But secondly, and this is the real problem that we've just heard, the U.S. federal government deficit is a serious problem. It's at $36 trillion now, but it has nothing to do with the trading relationship. The federal government deficit has occurred because the U.S. government has continued to overspend, such as with the Trump tax cut in 2017 that were never funded properly, and only a couple of weeks ago with the continuing funding bill, which is going to add another $2 trillion to the U.S. government deficit. So the problem here is that you've got a Trump administration that isn't following, doesn't understand, it appears, the basic laws of economics, mm-hmm. and tries to blame everyone else for its problem.
Yeah, but I mean, an awful lot of people have said, look, they don't agree with Howard Lutnick on this side of the Atlantic for sure, calling Ireland a tax scam. But they are looking at US multinationals and saying they're paying billions of corporate tax in Ireland that could be paid in the US. And we want some of that. And Barry Cowan, it seems that our economic model from the 60s right up till now is at risk here.
I don't think so. I think those U.S. companies, as I said earlier, that are based in Ireland are here because of our location in Europe, because of our qualities associated with our workforce and our education and our language and the ability to do business successfully. You know, as has been said by a previous speaker, you know, trying to sort out an internal problem by giving the impression that the EU trade war will resolve matters simply won't wash. And I do appreciate, of course, Trump and his presidency is playing to a base. It's responding to what his candidacy promised. He wanted to address a balance which exists in relation to surplus of goods in our favour to 156 and 109 billion surplus for them. So there's a 50 billion gap. There's potential there by other means to fill that gap if that's what he wants to do. You know, it could be mutual benefit in relation to the EU and the US in relation to NNG proposals in relation to contracts that may be sufficient for the EU against the difficulty of Russian gas and its costs, you know, while at the meantime, we look at the potential off the West Coast for us to play a part in resolving energy deficiencies across Europe. You know, there's issues in relation to defence and security, whereby savings may be made to also plug that gap. But that's by means of, you know, getting at the table, discussing these issues, finding ways and means we can get back to where we belong, which is you know, trade, 4 billion of trade between the two blocks per day. It's hugely beneficial.
The big question is if he's amenable to getting to the table and discussing all of that. Not so far, anyway. But I hear your argument and your point. Barry Cowan of Fianna Fáil, thank you very much indeed. Jennifer Ewing of Republicans Overseas UK, thank you as well. And Professor Scott Lucas of UCD, thank you. It's like waiting for a train to hit. We'll see how fast the train is moving, I suppose, tomorrow.